This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Ilara, Research Fellow. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the Journal of Neuro-Oncology, published in 2026, titled Comparative Analysis of Stereotactic Radiosurgery and Microsurgery for Vestibular Schwannoma, a Clinical and Radiological Evaluation.
This is a topic that is always at the forefront of our clinical multidisciplinary boards. Vestibular schwannomas, or acoustic neuromas, as many of our colleagues still call them, are benign, slow-growing tumors arising from the Schwann cells of the vestibular division of the eighth cranial nerve. We know they usually grow at a rate of about 1 to 2 millimeters per year, but because they are tucked into the cerebellopontine angle, that slow growth can have significant consequences.
Exactly. The paper highlights the common clinical presentations: progressive unilateral sensory neural hearing loss, tinnitus, imbalance, and in the case of larger tumors, brainstem compression with associated cranial nerve neuropathies. The study authors, led by Andre Boyk and his team at Cedars-Sinai, really wanted to look at the real-world outcomes of our three main pillars of management: observation, stereotactic radiosurgery, SRS, and microsurgical resection.
This specifically focused on the comparison between SRS and microsurgery. Now, we often tell residents that surgery is the gold standard for large tumors, usually those over 2.5 to 3 centimeters, especially when there is brainstem compression. But for small to medium lesions, the choice between SRS and surgery is more nuanced. Ilara, walk us through the study's methodology.
This was a retrospective review of 87 patients treated at a single tertiary center between 2013 and 2024. It's a solid 11-year cohort. They looked at demographics, clinical symptoms like hearing loss and facial weakness, and radiographic variables. One thing I appreciated about their method was the use of paired pre- and post-treatment changes. They didn't just look at a snapshot. They compared the tumor area before and after treatment using radiology reports and non-parametric statistical tests.
And they used the COAST classification as a framework, right?
Yes, they focused heavily on how COAST grade relates to outcomes. For the listeners who need a refresher, the COAST scale helps categorize these tumors based on their size and their relationship to the internal auditory canal and the brainstem.
Let's get into the results, because there is a very striking statistic regarding tumor size.
This is the headline of the paper. Microsurgery achieved a median 76% reduction in tumor area. In contrast, the SRS group was associated with relative stability, or even a modest growth of about 5%. The difference was statistically significant, with a p-value of less than 0.001.
A 76% reduction versus a 5% increase. That's a powerful way to frame the conversation with a patient. However, we have to be careful with how we interpret that modest growth in the SRS group. As the authors mention, tumor shrinkage after SRS can be delayed. SRS is really about achieving long-term tumor control rather than immediate debulking.
That's a great point, Dr. Aris. The paper notes that SRS is valued for its minimally invasive profile and high control rates in small to medium lesions, those under 2 to 3 centimeters. But what I found most interesting was the clinical morbidity data.
Right. Usually, the argument against surgery is the risk of increased morbidity, specifically facial nerve palsy or total hearing loss. What did this study find?
This was the surprising part. The post-treatment rates of hearing loss and facial weakness were actually similar between the microsurgery and SRS groups. The authors concluded that the substantial tumor reduction achieved by surgery was not associated with increased morbidity in this cohort.
That's a significant finding. It suggests that if you have a skilled surgical team, you can achieve that 76% reduction in tumor mass without necessarily paying for it with higher rates of facial palsy compared to radiation. It challenges the assumption that SRS is always the safer functional option.
They also took a deeper dive into the COAST-4 subset. For our residents listening, COAST-4 tumors are the large ones that displace the brainstem and the cranial nerves. The study found that even in these COAST-4 cases, surgery achieved significant tumor reduction without a disproportionate increase in postoperative deficits when compared to the lower-grade tumors.
And that correlates with the brainstem compression data they collected. The paper states that COAST grade correlated significantly with both brainstem compression and hearing loss, with a p-value of 0.049. This really supports the COAST classification as a practical and reliable framework for treatment selection.
Dr. Aris, given this data, how would you approach a patient who is on the fence? Let's say a middle-aged patient with a COAST-3 tumor.
Well, according to this study, we can tell the patient that microsurgery offers immediate and substantial tumor reduction. If they are symptomatic from mass effect, that 76% reduction is a huge benefit. On the other hand, SRS is excellent for maintaining radiographic stability. The paper calls these complementary roles. If the goal is tumor control without surgery, SRS is reliable. If the goal is debulking due to symptoms or size, surgery is effective and, in this cohort at least, just as safe functionally.
The authors also mention that real-world treatment decisions are frequently influenced by institutional expertise and philosophy. This study provides a bit more of a data-driven framework for those decisions. It's not just about what we're used to doing, it's about the expected volumetric response.
I think it's important to highlight the limitations mentioned or implied. This was a retrospective review of 87 patients at a single center. While the results are compelling, we always want to see if these similar morbidity rates hold up in multi-center trials. But for a single center study, the 11-year follow-up period gives it a lot of weight.
Definitely. And for the medical students listening, remember that the goal of surgery isn't just taking out a tumor. It's histopathological confirmation and debulking while preserving the nerves. The study mentions that the surgical approach, whether it's retrosigmoid, middle fossa, or translabyrinthine, is often chosen based on the preoperative auditory status.
Precisely. So to summarize the key takeaways from the Boyk et al. Paper, first, surgery provides a median 76% area reduction compared to relative stability in SRS. Second, functional outcomes for the facial and vestibulocochlear nerves were comparable between the two groups. And third, the COAST grade remains our most reliable tool for predicting brainstem compression and guiding the choice of management.
It really reinforces that microsurgery remains a robust standard of care, especially for those larger tumors, without necessarily carrying the high morbidity burden that some might fear.
Well, that's our time for today. This was a great deep dive into a very relevant clinical paper.
Thank you for joining us. We'll link the study in the show notes for those who want to look at the non-parametric statistical analysis and the specific radiographic data.
Until next time on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast, I'm Dr. Aris.
And I'm Dr. Alara. Keep learning.